I'm Sarah Serpas, and this is my book launch. This is my book. It's called Carmen. It's a novella about my 4 years in undergrad at Columbia in Morningside Heights up there, Harlem. It's comprised of 4 years, like exactly 4 years. I'm super anal, so it's like July 2013, from right before I started school to July 2017, immediately after I finished. And it's just comprised of these like iPhone notes that I would essentially write like drunk on the train to class, and like sometimes in class, but like usually always in public or like getting home from a party. And it was this process that really kind of sustained me, because I was really quite a fuck up in school. And this is the only thing that I really felt that I had any ownership over, because I don't know, I think I share a sentiment with most people that went through the undergraduate process, that over time, institutions, like the work you put into it just doesn't feel your own after a point, in like how it's presented and how it's like kind of drawn out of you and how you learn to get by. And for me, this was especially true of my experience. And the last few poems in this book of 40, again, I'm anal, so there's like 10 per year of school, directly led up to an exhibition that I put on last summer at the Luma Westbau in Zurich, where there was the last poem in this book was featured on the wall of this show. And it just felt right that my first artist book would just honor that time, because it was really special and I was really dissociative for most of it, but for these parts, I was there. Even if I, wasn't really there. But I was there here. So Hannah, who is someone that I live with and that I've worked with and who is my friend, wrote an introductory text for the work. And it's honestly my favorite piece of writing on my work ever. And I'm really happy that she's here with me tonight, and that we live together. We've been watching like a lot of like really like gay movies together recently,
like 90s gay movies.
Yeah,
and we're like, thank God for 9/11. Because I mean, not in a bad. Sorry, no, I'm so sorry. I mean, like, just in the sense of the cultural shift. Not in it. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Fuck. I didn't say that or mean it.
Without further ado. This is at home.
I'm gonna just read the whole introduction because it's pretty short, and then you're gonna read a few poems, right?
Yeah.
It's called Becoming Trash. In Sarah Serpas's mythic account of her development as an artist, the decision to take art courses at Columbia was partly motivated by her desire to acquire through art a room of her own. This is actually going to be kind of weird to read in front of you, but cool. a small art studio in this case, where it was possible to make a mess. The prohibition against mess in her life up until this point emanated from Serpas's mother, with whom the artist shared a one-bedroom apartment until she left home for Columbia at 18. In an interview with her friend and collaborator Rin Johnson, shout out to Rin, Serpas remembers, "My mom hated clutter, so I couldn't put anything up on the walls," end quote. Thus, Serpas's work is partly an expression of a simple liberty to live without a mother, to command space through chaos, to appreciate one's own detritus and that of others, a practice of, quote, having no mom here and keeping her out, end quote. That's from one of the poems. Set free into perilous terrain, Serpas learns privacy through the only method so far available to her, sharing everything. Remember that freedom has something to do with loneliness. like a hypothetical historical development of art from ritual to autonomy, art meaning, quote, a social mediation that has, to varying degrees since securing autonomy in the modern era, come to represent a utopian space in which the imperatives of labor, accumulation, and instrumental rationality are suspended, end quote. And that's by Marina Vishmit. The child's progression from the mother's care to the biggest space of the social is a contradictory lesson in both expansion and constraint. Not only does the golden and persecuted child now have to expose herself to the icy waters of the outside world in order to get some room to live or a goddamn break, she also has to try her luck sometimes as a girl. Here she discovers that just like at home, she is extravagantly, dangerously lovable. But what to do, so true, but what to do with all this slippery love that abolishes itself as it unfolds, that swears it can't be trusted? Carmen is the name of a dorm at Columbia University. Attending the university as a student, Serpas affects a social transition from working class to bourgeois, a transition currently less frothed over than its gender equivalent, but still cherished, claimed, and projected onto by both pretenders and real ones everywhere for the delicate effects of its vertigo, its swoony atmosphere of alienation. The poems in this book are the crime scene of this metamorphosis from being a simple, pathetic instance of a person, something perhaps more like a dog, to being, and to being with a capital B, that's hard to read aloud, to being with a capital B, an essence arbitrating personhood. A scene that unfolds in the theater of a prestigious American college. Serpas's dreams take shape around, although there are other students undergoing class acclimatization, Serpas's dreams take shape around fellow students made painfully desirable by their comfort, made painfully desirable by the size of their childhood bedrooms, made painfully desirable by their alien faith that their world, founded on and maintained by nightmare, should be just, made painfully desirable by the nightmarishly reassuring nature of their nightmares, made painfully reassuring by their desirability in a tautological loop. This institution is not coincidentally like that of art in that it represents a utopian space, that's the institution of the university, FYI, not coincidentally like that of art in that it represents a utopian space where certain sacraments of accumulation are suspended. The students, blessed and anointed, their worth proved with excellent grades or purchased with family wealth, are encouraged to engage in temporarily profitless work. They will learn ancient texts, poetic form, aesthetic practice, all in rigorous and stimulating classroom environments. They will get the best possible education, and that education, if they are lucky, will lead them to understand that everything they have striven for up until now is the smiling face of some truly evil bullshit. Serpas seems to have known this from the start. Among her distinctions is her dreamy pragmatism, itself just a single facet of a jade cut from being absolutely jaded. Only the young can be old like this. Those students who began their lives at the sharp end of profit in the racialized working class are now given the opportunity to join the bourgeoisie for the price of, quote, a life story, but I only have those of the dead, end quote. That's from one of the poems. The latter will suffice. These are the dead whose imagined afterlife animates the liberal progressive policies of schools like Columbia, who hope to expiate an impossible guilt through a shining vision of a diverse present. It's an attempt to force ongoing ruin to lie down and be quiet by pretending its ancient history. Serpas, O miraculous example, is supposed to act as the impossible proof of the moral perfectibility of the American institution in relation to and despite its foundation in class war. She is expected to do this by, one, bringing the ancestors with her, and two, subjecting them to a final exorcism. Fortunately and unfortunately, she is still busy, quote, ripping the canines, end quote, off them, with an irony the color of a despair left out in the sun for centuries, left out to die for centuries in the sun. She herself has become canine. She has become a lover of dogs and men who look like dogs. The circumstances seem to make this necessary, either dog or be dogged. The liberal desire for diversification, although fine, constructive for the individuals involved, and perhaps even necessary from one or more points of view, that landed Serpas an art studio represents a pacification of sorts, but a Pacific, like at Columbia in the specific way. Sorry, this is crazy. I'm so sorry. This is super intense. whatever, let's just go with it. But I didn't, obviously, whatever. I write everything so fast and I don't remember what I said, but it's like, yeah. But a Pacific life is softer to live than a wild one, and it's easy to understand a desire to live softly. Righteous refusal, I think I was thinking about myself as well, if you want to read that through this. Righteous refusal would need something more, not outrageous or theological belief, but a way to live among others. I want to know how, but I don't either. In conversation late at night, Serpas tells me, I don't want to be part of a collective politics. It belongs to stupid people, and I'm smarter than those people. That's a true thing. It's so amazing. Stung into self-criticism, I thought of Moten and Hani, quote, it is recourse to self-possession in the face of dispossession, recourse, in other words, to politics that represents the real danger. Politics is an ongoing attack on the common, the general and generative antagonism from within the surround. They praise the Black Panthers, for example, for theorizing revolution without politics. Serpas's interests are not directly revolutionary nor political, though at times through several accidents of birth, the trace of revolution sticks to her, a failed revolution, of revolution's continual falling down. This is why her work's relation to art's justifications, that it might index at least a revolutionary desire, that it might archive that desire or its small manifestations, that it might derive from a realm of pure form, is motivated by negation. She writes, all the writing I do is bad and public, end quote. The negation is all the more stunning in its nihilism because it is ambivalent. In speed and carelessness of production, the poems resemble notes. The poems are notes, but now they are poems. To refine these broken lines into polite stanzas would be more than language deserves. In conditions of relentless horror and our defenses against it, carelessness is a way to show care. Contempt for the form of a poem repackaged as a poem is one method of maintaining a moral right to criticism, a moral right to hatred of the mass violences that have despoiled the human propensity for magic, a moral right that could survive the abolition of morality and rights, something more like the muscle of living. I would like to read all of this as revenge. On the other hand, I don't want to, sorry. For Serpas, the long shadow of ruin that fell across the world from Europe has a certain charisma, especially when it's the only show in town. In an interview with Ravelin magazine, Serpas is cute and rapacious, the perfect ingenue. She said, I've never been to Europe. I want to see where the shit show stems from. Also, I'm ready to take all their money, end quote. Now she has been to Europe and it's a match. The destroying class are greedy for news of what they are structurally bound to destroy. Even better, as the feel of apocalypse has been re-imported by its primary exporters, Europe, America, there's no more need, if there ever was, for the elaborate mediations with which art used to contribute to decorating the slaughterhouse. Quote, nothing's abstracted in the end times. Things mean things or are meaner yet. End quote. Not only the university, but art too, with its compulsory novelty, its ostensible convergence with a generic contemporary, is a machine for organizing the musculature of ancestry and animality, which is all we have, into a shitty peristalsis of past and present. Although catastrophe is an achieved and commonplace fact, the various conquistador pathologies, globalized mummy complexes, and love of death that let us loose among all these delicious ironies, including Serpas's gestural dance with value, are still with us, still shaking loose the unripe fruit, grinding stars into mud. It is these forces that have rendered a romantic idea of art nauseating and impossible, and not just now in a new bad age, but at least since portraits of kings were gilded with stolen gold. Before value arrived in the form of ultraviolence, gold was just attractive trash. That's why dollar store earrings are more beautiful than the kind your boyfriend saves up for in a dream of hetero bliss. So trash occupies surfaces, plinths, and poetry, voguing household goods and contortionist doors, trash assembled whimsically in relation to an unverified rumor about form. In an eternally collapsing world, formal rearrangement is both impressively hubristic and flatly pointless. In Serpas's work, both affects unite. The self that generates this discontent is both unique and exemplary, already trash, so are we. And isn't becoming trash, as was explored in the important movie WALL-E, the apex of the commodity's journey, the part where it falls out of the spell it's been trapped in and back into its radical singularity? Or, as Marina Vishmit asks, what does it mean to hold a revolutionary position without a revolutionary horizon? End quote. It means to keep climbing on the trash heap, finding what you can where you can.
So how can I follow that up? Thank you. Okay. I'm going to read like 5 of these or like 8 of these, but let's see how this goes. And I'm going to go chronologically. So I'll like pretty much like, I'm going to throw out like a year of like when I wrote the thing. Yeah. So like when I wrote this and like saw it all together, I was like, wow, I got like better at writing, or like I got more clear, or like I got less dumb. But then I sometimes read it backwards and I'm like, wow, I got like more dumb, or like I got more like I edited myself more, or like I was less drunk. All of these things could be true and are. But yeah, let me just try to do this. I was super drunk. It was like my second week of freshman year, and I went to go see a poetry reading by the collective Dark Matter at NYU. What I don't get is why they're like colonial vestiture on the decolonizers. I love presentation, and I need it to slip through escapist talk faster than a lisp. Remember, presenting in this way prevents you from identifying me in space. Getting in line up to mi mamá y como ella sobrevivió y mi abuelita más como yo, pero todo era mi culpa. Y extraño a mi mamá y los insignios de mi tierra, pero no es mi vida y no es mi idioma. Y alguien de España violó a parte de mi familia. Conozco el español, el natural perdido, Zacatecas, El Salvador. I don't recognize you and don't want to. Mi mamá, tía, abuelita, Danny, I love autism, apartments, pro and unfurnished loneliness. The queer year of silence is next level. I love next level. Mom's impromptu Prius, my life. Fucking grad students on the low. I expected to hate Facebook and myself at Columbia. Mom, I audit my life here. Hating it while drunk now, while right now, while mom, I love next level. Group text taking my ass back to campus, happy and out. I live and I breathe and I love New York. Thank you. I'll fuck with you soon. This was at IVQ, which is this queer conference put on by the Ivy League. And this year it was freshman year, and it was at Princeton in 2013. Roads equal mad whites, drunk femme and two turn. I was queer fun at high, repping the richer, yet more drunk, yet backpedaling at 11. But gone, stuck in a life created for you, hair trigger recognition. Recognizing that I loved you, full throttle and stop. Cousin is probably queer for pollution and stream. Effects to growing up when the environmental raced me. Looking within what is not only a healthy, desirable thing, we know better. Including caps or grammaticals mark my recognition. Recognize you too. Childhood recognizing itself as a farce. A floor harmony. On the 6th floor, I'm still male-bodied. Mail ordering, Junie B. Jones reorganizes her testament in response to heteronormativity, dominance, and death's reign. Respect recognizing itself as a tuck. 2 days at law camp, met business, casual, the other 6 days. All these queens on your floor is sex, not solidarity. At a Dark Matter show now, inspired, but fuck. I am that, yet as it is such, so also as such is it onto you. Let's drink and get healthy. She made herself throw up today, and she's been here before, recognizing repercussions as tangents. Okay, let's go to sophomore year. Here we go. Ripped apart, you ripped me apart. Collage million dead, collage donde queda mi cuerpo el temporal, como Dios en mil partes. Clothing as point of impact. A totem is a wrap around a city as it is engagement with one's surroundings, an engagement with that which has been worn out, discarded, and filtered into alms buckets and newly tagged. I wear my surroundings on my feet. When it wears out, I see only my vantage is worn.
I fall apart with the assumption that I can do any more than cover myself in a sheet and hope for the singularity. What is in a name other than reference to the stolen? The blend into landmass is a step to answering the question. Am I the garments I inhabit? How do they inhabit me? Arsenal burgeoning forth. Every locale proves a new shot at self-concept via collection. Mexico City proves communion with characters that come to dom their surroundings, to don sentience. Crushed velvet, massage onto canvas, stretch onto body near my full bright arrow rug, clutching at the danger and muse in the deafest streets. Can one work we're not discovering for survival? Breaking down in 2013, I found myself tossed asunder by the volition of t-shirts and other ephemera. How had I earned trust so immaterial as to become sentient? I lent mine to fiber, from which rose an aura, beating out of me, out of the cloth, and out to the canvas, a portal into all I did and all I was at the moment of conception. In the area immediately surrounding, I delve into relationships with those I direct, to carry on the little I've instructed, for the objects have implanted their own memories onto my scalp, back onto them, onto the players and the stage, a silent rapport. I'll never see the world in the same way. I am in conversation with the immortal, indigeneity. The clay has dried, walls healed. Only through conversation can the material escape temporality. I wish to temporarily disperse my memory to this. I'll never see the world in the same way. I am in conversation with the immortal, indigeneity. The clay has dried, walls healed. Only through conversation can the material escape terminality. I wish to terminate my life, if only for a second.
Okay.
Ever feel different? Had a change of heart? Kicked a book down my ravine? I wish you were predictable. Back to plucking. Ephemera shudders. Conversation with skin too deep, and I think I cut my ring finger.
Okay, three more. Junior year.
I went to the desert con mi mamá. Outlet store shopping is fried onto mi conciencia. Big bags wins, bigger losses. Fragmented lex economy run on sentences. The opposite in one with a liberal arts degree. Morongo Casino Hotel is reservation. All rights tarnished, get reserved. I really hate it, this place. I forget rural doesn't equal death. So many people, even more stores. We buy, mom buys, mom's money, baby shirts, Swarovski, crystal meth. If every other boy DMing me was in Assaging is overthinking with Tina, I hope to someday come unreserved to a shopping trip alone in the universe with my mom. Think about the parents who beat their kids for a stain on their shirt. What are they protecting? Did they go outlet shopping? Thinking about essentialism, absolute truths and the lie, on learning a definition, too close to my septum, do much damage, control predatory behavior, encode neoliberal social media practitioners of everybody's access to everybody, people used to store power in secrets, collective knowledge, and restraint. Senior year, the present in Drag Me to Hell. I fucked myself with coffee. I like inserted it directly into my body. It's so fucked, like I feel it coursing. No other high, like I'd fall downstairs in tow. Wabi sabiske. I actually feel like I'll die, ever so aware of everything, except that which would save me. Fuck you, father fucked. Cuck incarnate, carnage in that always was, trouble starter, instigator, collector, non-participant, sing a song like this, sing a song like this, treaty revisions, extensions, tendril clap syndrome, I'm congested and unafraid, fraudulent, contained in memory, I think iconic, legendary, and queen are nice ways to bury people, ugh, fuck, why I drink all that death, I feel it so much, I am the devil and I'm here to do the devil's work, my problematic fave would kill my mother, Buy chlorine, buy spray bottle, mix with water, enjoy, but spray over last piece, hide the coffee, your mistake, stake in it all, chance at fame, fortune, mediocrity. Buy super glue, live in super glue, glue phone to corner, just enough till you die, till you feel it all over, consuming your body for the life you don't care to live. Ride or die, be my ride or die. The person I'm dating says they want to turn, they want to scan my body into a car they can drive virtually. Is that chapter one of this gear shift called my chic? Fuck, not again. I line them all the boys up. I've dated. I have a type, a cuck to scratch. Fuck. Okay, last poem, which is like what was in the show last summer. Sarah is a doge. She has her tongue out most of the time. She smells like Chanel Shantz. Give her work a chance. Lines delineate the alien and tran, as do string of thought, wet via my tongue. I act like a model. I'm actually an arsonist. Sculptures are the closest I come to self-harm and exercise. If you're reading this, I've read you. Okay. So I didn't realize how hard it was going to be to flip through that book with one hand, so I did like the emo hair thing. But also it looks like my Instagram AV, which is the girl from The Ring. So I was like, that's fine. So. Yeah. Okay. How much did we love Yentl?
We really loved Yentl a lot. We only watched it because... I was planning to watch A Star Is Born after Sarah played me the song, and where Lady Gaga does the like primal scream thing, and it's kind of intense and beautiful. And then we watched the Barbra Streisand one to prepare for the current one, and then I didn't understand about Barbra Streisand until then, and how she embodies the like divine feminine, and all her movies are basically about that, including Yentl. Should I ask you more about, but I feel like you covered some of the things I was going to ask you about the book, like how you produced it and stuff. Yes. Does anyone in the audience have any questions? Is that a yes, or just you're moving your head? No, okay, sorry, that's totally evil. I wanted to hear about, you were saying that it's kind of like, is it a book? Is it an art object? Is it like, I don't know, like what way do you think about it in terms of how it fits into the exhibition and stuff?
So it's a full piece. It's a time capsule. It's unedited, chronological. There are parts of it that are embarrassing, but ultimately I'm like, that's also gonna be part of it. It's just like, it's a whole piece. And I'm really happy with it. It's the longest I've worked on something.
So you had like no selection process. They're not from, it's not like you like went through a bunch of notes and then these are the ones you picked out. This is just like an entire over. You must have done some, I feel like you've done some selecting.
So I didn't use the notes where like, there were like notes for class in it, which were like a lot of them. A lot of them were like, turn in this like 2 weeks late, and then like a rant about the teacher, but I'm like, that's not like a piece. I guess it could have been, but I was like, let me do like the ones that were like straight, like I'm super like out of it, this is like just that. Because like the notes about like class and stuff probably like when I would go through them like probably like signaled to me that they had like some like intention, and I was just like doing a little.
You have like a poetry practice as well. So I wonder, are these things where you were thinking at all about like someone reading them, or do they feel like totally just like, do they feel totally like diaristic or whatever, or was it a little bit like, oh, maybe this is going to be a poem, and then it just turns into something too weird to be a poem, and or what, was there any like line like that?
I think most of them ended up being like pretty like diaristic.
Yeah.
But in the way that I was writing them after the fact, because like I would write them like in my iPhone notes, and then I would be like, I'm gonna like copy paste this one to like Tumblr and see how many notes I get.
Yeah, that's very time capsule. What were you most embarrassed by? Is that a weird, that's a horrible question. Embarrassed by?
There were like a lot where I'm just like,
like I have like a very like, I was like a political organizer in high school, but then I got to college and was totally like burned out, but I still had like this language, and I kind of used that to just be like, well, I'm like better than these people like doing work on campus, but then like I wasn't doing shit. So there are like a lot of like really embarrassing points in this where like I kind of like try to like represent my politics, but then I also know that like at the time when I was like writing them, like I wasn't doing like any actual like work towards the things that I was talking about. So I read them now and I was just like, I have things to say.
But also if you're like 19 or whatever and at college, that is kind of supposed to be your work. I mean, that's like kind of fine, right? That's not like, why aren't you doing really intense activism instead of getting a degree? That's so selfish or whatever. But you started out in like, this is across like quite a big change in what you're studying as well, right? Because you started in like urban design, yeah, or urban studies.
It started in urban studies, and then I did like a quick 360 to visual arts when I was like, I couldn't deal with the academia.
Yeah, yeah.
So it does like show that switch.
Yeah.
And then I think that's when the poem started to get like better.
Yeah.
Or like better and like more structured, and I was like editing myself. I was like, I'm not gonna like, you know, like these are still like my like ramblings, and I'm stressed out, and I had like 3 coffees, and like I'm on the train, and I'm not trying to make eye contact with anyone.
Right.
But they're not gonna be embarrassing. Wow, whereas like the first ones, like I was really just like super like wasted and just like reflecting on like I did all this like political work to like get into a college where I'm doing none.
Yeah. I'd love to see a collection of like loads of people's like things they write while pretending to text to avoid speaking to someone. Like that would be such an amazing archive of like, what do people communicate when they're trying not to communicate or whatever. Yeah. Like that would be cool. Does anyone in the room have a question? Oh, Daniel. Should I do something with a microphone?
No, it's fine. Could you talk about the cover and the relationship between Carmen, the dorm, and Carmen, the opera? Or the
okay, so Carmen was my freshman year dorm, and it was the party dorm at the school, and I had a lot of fun. I had too much fun. I was hospitalized like 3 times. It was like a very like messy year for me. So I don't remember a lot of it, but I wanted to honor it. And okay, Carmen the Opera, I've only seen like bits of it like on YouTube, but I'd seen like this iconic poster before. It relates more to like the exhibition that I did in Zurich, where I appropriated the movie poster for Gummo by Harmony Korine from the 90s. I like used that as like the poster for the show, so I thought I would do a similar thing for the book, and it like fit like thematically, but that's about as deep as it gets. It's really not that deep, but I do like it a lot because it's like cool, and there's like a piece of fabric on it, and there was like some fabric, there was a lot of fabric in the show, and I was like, wow, like things connect. But I love this play though. but yeah. And then okay, so the first part, what I learned, I was a brat when I got into school, and like I didn't, I should have been like more social or like tried to be. I was just very like intimidated. But I'm happy that like shows, because like I feel like it like might bring some people back to that. Because it just like shows like first the curse. I was just so like intimidated. Whereas like looking back, I was just like in those moments, I thought I was just like being like totally like normal. But I was like, no, I was like really reacting to something that like kind of, it was there, but like also really wasn't there. Yeah. I wish I'd like made more like connections and like friendships in that time. Second part, other than like me like kind of like
editing myself, even though they were still like very like public kind of stream of consciousness things that I would write while, again, like pretending to like be in communication with somebody else while I was like super like isolated, just like on the train to school every morning. Other than that shift, I was like in my like first like during school relationship, like at the end of this, like in my senior year. And I see like how my writing changed a lot then, but the way that it changed is that I was kind of just like underhandedly like bashing like the person that I was with. So it became like more targeted at one person, which I think is also relatable. But yeah.
That's literature. It's like Dante and Beatrice or whatever. You're like, I fucking hate this guy I'm dating. And then it's like an amazing source of inspiration.
Yeah.
Sorry, not that you hated him at the time, but maybe you came too late.
Came to it. R.I.P. okay, so if there are no other questions, all I can say is that the book is for sale in that room, and we take all forms of payment, and it's $20, and it's wrapped in plastic, and yeah. And if you have like questions about it that you didn't want to ask in public, you could ask me here, totally, and I would be super into that. I mean, not here. I'll be like here, but not here. I don't like the light situation. Yeah. On that note.